Hello and welcome to the ESVS podcast. My name is Susanne Stockmans. Today we are talking about the European Venus Registry together with my two guests, Professor Robert Hinchliff and Professor Stephen Black. Robert Hinchliff is Professor of Vascular Surgery at the University of Bristol. He is also a chairman of the European Research Hub of the ESVS. Stephen Black is a consultant vascular surgeon at Guy's and St. Thomas NHS Foundation Trust. He's a professor of venous surgery at King's College, London. Professor Hinchliff, as mentioned before, you are the chairman of the European Research Hub that was established in 2022 and seeks to increase the participation in high-quality clinical research in vascular disease throughout Europe. Can you tell us a little bit more about why European Research Hub and ESVS were keen to develop a European Venous Registry?
Thanks, Suzanne. The European Research Hub was really brainchild of Professor Martin Bjork and the ESVS, who were very keen to raise the profile and improve clinical research in vascular surgery across Europe. And one of the key initiatives has been the development of the European Venous Registry. And I think everyone's aware that there's been a massive increasing the numbers of potential interventions that can be delivered to this complex group of patients. And it was felt that although there have been a number of trials in this area, there's still opportunity to raise the bar in terms of the understanding of the disease. And therefore, a registry is a good way of doing that. And we've seen that the VascuNet consortium have been very effective in delivering research in aortic disease. And it was felt that it was a good opportunity to do the same in deep venous disease.
I would add to that as well that with venous, because it's a relatively newer space for treatment for patients, and the number of people involved are smaller, and we haven't really gone to that massive growth yet. There's big opportunity in that because you can bring together a group of people who are still really vested in working together to develop treatments for patients and make sure we're doing that correctly. And I think all the KOLs that have been involved in this are really committed to getting joint data together as quickly as we can to make sure that we are, in fact, on the right track for patients. Because if we're not, it's going to be collective data that can start to steer us in the directions we need to go and enable us to build the appropriate trials that we need in the future to really improve treatment in this space.
And can you tell us more about the European Venous Registry, or EVER, as it is called? What is it exactly?
The European Venous Registry is a multi-center, multi-nation depository or repository even of deep venous treatments with what we hope will be a 10-year time horizon on collecting data. And if it proves to be successful, perhaps we'll look to extend that in due course. And the intention is for us to gather together data from several European centers and potentially more broadly as we evolve that informs the outcome of venous interventions as we currently practice them, and to provide both patients and stakeholders with the best possible treatment we can according to the evidence that we generate. And it's for that reason that we've involved patients from the beginning. And the focus of the registry is to try and get reliable data, to try and get the essential data we need to make it possible to deliver, and to allow us to audit that data to make sure it's robust, and to include measures that are really relevant to patients in that time period, and to make sure that we follow these patients out to 5 years, so that data is applicable to the European community that needs to register and authorize devices, as well as to our industry partners and to patients, a long enough follow-up.
I think we're all in the business of improving the care of people with deep venous disease, and I think the registry offers a way of doing that. Whether you're a surgeon wanting to assess your performance and comparing it to other surgeons and unit performances and being able to use it in some form of appraisal situation, whether you're an industry partner who is wanting to evaluate their new interventions and innovations, and whether you're a regulator wanting a robust platform of data, which is really not in existence in terms of real-world data. And of course, you know, there are opportunities, as we've already started to see, that there are research opportunities here for everyone to take advantage of. And we've seen this also in joint initiatives, such as the development of a core outcome set, which is, again, another piece of the jigsaw puzzle, which should help us drive better care for people with deep venous disease.
And why is it important to start a registry on venous pathology specifically?
Well, I think at the moment, although there are pockets of very good data from clinical trials, I think there's still a lot of unknowns in the management of this group. If you look at the research prioritization exercises that have gone on both in the States from the SVS and the UK, a number of the priorities in vascular disease focus on those with deep venous interventions. So there's a lot of unmet research need. There's certainly some lack of real clarity on how to manage these patients in terms of NICE guidelines. And both of those have called for more and better research. And also there's a need for improved long-term data collection to assess some of these vascular technologies. Generally speaking, this patient cohort are younger than many of our other vascular patients and need to have a durable intervention that improves quality of life in the longer term. So I think the advantage here is that we just need a coherent, large data set, which will take into account the needs of both surgeons, researchers, societies, industry, regulators, and patients.
Yeah, and I think the point that Rob makes there as well is that it's been very difficult to run clinical trials in this space. And that's partly because the base we're building on is very poor and because it's been a real struggle for patients and clinicians to have equipoise. A lot of patients are really struggling and want treatment. And they're not really prepared to go into a trial where they may not get treatment. You know, we've seen clinical trials take 10, 15 years to finish recruitment and then another 3 years to get outcomes and a number have stalled and failed. So if we're going to answer the questions and know what bits of this we need to pick out to put into RCTs and how we're going to handle that, the so-called real-world evidence is becoming increasingly powerful if done properly. And so our aim here is to do that properly, and that will allow us to get data in a way that we would not be able to do if we were trying to fund clinical trials.
And what kind of variables regarding venous disease are going to be collected in the registry?
So Rob and his group with his colleague Barış Ozdemir have spent quite a lot of time on looking at what a core outcome set should be for these patients. So we're building it off that, and that's involved patient input and various other stakeholders giving information into what we should do. And we also published a paper in Lancet Hematology with a group called ICHOM that was written by Adam Gwads that looked at a core outcome set for patients suffering from venous thromboembolic disease. And so we combined some of these core outcome sets, which are going to look at both technical outcomes for patients that, you know, did you treat the lesion? Did you cross it? We're also collecting patients who don't have treatment. So it's not just about technical outcome. And then we're going to look at quality of life measures and disease-specific outcomes related to the development of post-thrombotic syndrome, which is ultimately what the raison d'etre for all these treatments are, is treating post-thrombotic syndrome.
When does the registry launch?
We're in the pilot phase at the moment. So we just finalised the data set. We've been working with our software provider, Dendrite, to produce what we hope to be a pragmatic data set for completion. And so we're anticipating that in the coming weeks to months that we'll be getting our key opinion leader sites started. And we're hoping for the opportunity during that pilot phase to resolve any minor issues and then really to be launching the full registry probably within the next 6 months.
And what are your goals for the EVER registry in the upcoming 5 to 10 years?
I think the key thing really is to be able to map the activity of venous interventions over that time, to evaluate the outcomes of some of these procedures and to understand the pathology so that we can deliver interventions which are going to improve the outcomes of patients. That clearly has to be the focus.
And I think in addition to that, you're kind of trying to say, you know, can we show a pathway for this kind of activity for the ESVS that works, right? So venous, deep venous was an easy thing to start with, not only because of the obvious need for the data, but also because it's a relatively well-controlled cohort. And if that works, then it demonstrates a pathway for the ESVS to potentially expand registries and other disease states for us to expand the reach of the EVER registry to include more than just the patient cohort that we're focusing on now, but also to help shape the kind of opportunities with real world data to really steer the future of interventions rather than waiting for what are now unfeasibly expensive clinical trials sometimes. And we have to find the right marriage between those two things. So that's a sort of broader goal than the specific ambition of the disease state, which we've covered quite a lot.
And maybe it's a bit soon, but when do you expect to be able to analyze and report on the first results from the registry?
The EVER registry will be publishing an annual report, and we hope to be working with the European Journal of Vascular and Endovascular Surgery to be able to deliver those open access to everyone to review. The registry will also provide individual surgeons on a real-time basis to evaluate their own performance and their own outcomes, and obviously industry to be able to access anonymous data on patients who receive their devices. So we're looking to provide data for multiple stakeholders. And in addition to that, I think we will be able to provide data that is relevant to patients, and we'll be able to allow researchers with clear hypotheses and the opportunity to be able to submit questions of interest and to be able to analyze the data in much the same way that is possible in some of the other well-curated national registries throughout the world.
And I can imagine that after hearing this podcast, a lot of centers will be very enthusiastic to participate in the registry. How can these centers apply, and who can they contact to start working on the EVER registry?
Well, we'd welcome vascular centers to get involved internationally. And the EVER registry is open to centers, the vascular centers who are willing to commit at least 5 deep venous cases per year. But you don't have to necessarily be a deep venous intervention expert and actually partake in this registry, even if you're not performing deep venous interventions, because we're interested in the natural history of deep venous disease. And of course, as part of that, we recognize that surgeons will be contributing data at a time that they're, you know, incredibly busy, and therefore we're offering some support to that. Centers will be provided with a free ESVS membership and involvement in publication in journals, and the opportunity to be able to evaluate, as I say, you know, with a real-time dashboard, your own individual surgeon and center performance, as well as offering an individual per patient fee for completion of the data.
And do other continents or countries also have these kinds of venous registries? And what is different about the EVER registry?
You know, there's a number of other registries that exist in the space and or attempts that have been made to form them. And I think all of them are slightly different. I mean, every registry will have its value. In the UK, BSIR launched a venous registry several years ago. It hasn't really been successful in capturing patients. What we learned from that is perhaps too many data entry points, too difficult to fill in, and a lack of multi-operator engagement potentially. The AVLS registry in the USA does collect venous patient data, but they've taken a slightly different approach to us, where you have to pay to get access to the data. And so that cost has been quite prohibitive. And I think we're trying to incentivize people to put patients into the registry. And therefore, we would want the data to be used and to be readily available. So we've gone a slightly different approach to that. But there are some similarities between those two. And then, there are some other registries that are, I would say, privately run registries, which always is a different thing. So the College of Phlebology obviously have a registry. You have to be a member of the College of Phlebology to be able to submit, and it's a private industry run thing, where this is branded by the ESVS. It's not about making a profit. It's about understanding the disease state. And it's purely focused on deep venous disease, which the College of Phlebology registry is more about superficial vein treatment.
It has been a great pleasure learning about the European Venous Registry. Thank you for your time, and we are very excited to follow your work within the vascular community.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will be back soon with more ESVS podcasts. Please follow the ESVS socials to be informed about new releases. Thank you for listening, and talk to you soon.